Good morning and welcome to A Voice of a People live here on WGH Talk with Linda Sims speaking. How are you doing today? It is a lovely, lovely day. Any day that your eyes are open is a beautiful day. Thank you so much for tuning in to A Voice of a People. If it's your first time, I pray it is not your last time. And if you are faithful and have been following me and listening to me as a faithful follower, thank you for your love and for your support. Thank you so very much. There are some things I need to share with you today. On the start of the program is we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device. Once you download that app, which is a common language to us nowadays, we all have apps on our cell phones, iPhones, laptops, computers, TVs. Now, you can download apps. Well, this is what TuneIn app is. Download it on any electronic device. And once you do, in the search bar, search WWGH, okay? And you will be connected with us live and a part of all the other live programs we have to offer you. They are logged in our archives. Also, if you would like to call in and be a part of the show, like make any comments or have any questions about the subject that would be covered, you have the options to call in live on the show by calling 740-383-9944. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. I know maybe some of you are like me. Wait till the last minute when someone's giving out information or a telephone number, and I have to scrounge around the house looking and searching for a pen. Then I got to find a piece of paper. So I've learned to put a little tablet right on my little coffee table in front of my couch and a pen. So it's there. On my nightstand. So it's there. You know, in the family room. So it's there. So it's just a tip if you haven't already gotten that tip, you know, throughout your experiences in life. I'm just putting it out there for you. Again, and that number is 740-383-9944. And along with you supporters, I need to share with you others who do support. And that is starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is they have free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place May 18th. Mark your calendars as I'm marking mine. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. at the above mentioned address, 582 Lee Street. Free produce by Logos Christian Ministries. We also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, which is known as the Good News Club. That is a faith-based after-school program, and it is located in all Marion City and County elementary schools, along with North Union's County elementary schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939. Now, this is an after-school program. Many of them will be wrapping up in the next 2 or 3 weeks until school starts again. And then they start up in October of the coming school year. So if you are interested in your student becoming a part of this faith-based after-school program for the coming year, please contact Cheryl Lee at 740-262-0939 or check with your local elementary school's office. They probably still have some registration forms that you could pick up. But if not, you can wait till school starts again, fresh and anew. Just wanted to put that out there for you. Okay, now, I also like to start my show off with a thought for today. I think that's all my announcements. I do have Dana Booker coming on for the second hour, and she will also be giving announcements that have a lot to do with Juneteenth Day celebration, which is an African-American celebration, along with our entire community, hopefully, will join in with us for this celebration. You know, we're only one people, just like flowers are just flowers. They're just different colors. And we're only one people. We're just different colors. So we're hoping that our community will help support our Juneteenth Day celebrations. No pressure putting on you or anything like that. But, you know, just like I come to yours, I come in great faith, and I pray that you will be able to come and celebrate with us in great faith. I usually start my show off with a thought for today. And this thought is titled, Inner Beauty. You know, we look on the outside and, oh, they're beautiful. Oh, they're gorgeous. Oh, they're handsome. Oh, they are sharp. They are stellar. Right? We say things like that. But we can't see the inside. And if that beauty is on the inside, it shines on the outside no matter what your outside looks like. Right? And it goes like this. Wow, that's beautiful. It's either a cry or a thought when faced with the mountain sunset, a spectacular view, or a well-formed man or woman. But where is the beauty? Where is the appreciation of beauty? Where is the ability to discern beauty? It is within our own consciousness. For the essence of who and what we are is beauty itself. The essence of beauty is not found in the body, a face, or a mountain. They only stir the essence of beauty within our own spirit. And that beauty is not only something we taste within ourselves, but it emerges in our character as virtue and in our life as care. For what is virtue but love in action? The next time you say, that's beautiful, know that you speak of yourself, and it is you who are beautiful, always were, always will be. Wow. The next time you say that's beautiful, know that you speak of yourself, and it is you who are beautiful, always were, always will be. And you know, I've run across people in my life, and you say, wow, I like your smile. You do? Like, I didn't really know I had a nice smile. I know you've probably ran into people like that too. Or your hair is lovely or beautiful, and they have this somewhat a downward cast on their face because they have not really looked at themselves and realized the beauty within themselves. You know, everyone wants to compare themselves to a fashion model or actors on TV, you know, or Miss America. Even in your own hometown, you know, the mayor's wife or whoever, you know, you figure that is beautiful, the pastor's wife, you know, and you compare yourself to other people. And they say, do not compare yourself with others. Do not. Because you will always see something in them that you would hope to have or hope to look like or hope to be. No, do not compare yourself with other people. You are unique within yourself. I had this conversation just before I came on the show today. And we were talking about, I forget what the conversation even led to, but it came to this. Everything is beautiful in its own way. And I say, yeah, well, you know that is right, because when God, who is our creator, created the heavens and the earth, and when he finished from day one to day six, and he looked at everything that he had created, and he said, everything is good, very good. So that meant everything was beautiful and everything was perfect at that point, right? So we are beautiful within ourselves. There is beauty in us. It's not so necessary to have it on the outside, because when you look at some people and you just feel like they're just airheads, right? And they may be the beautifulest, but they're just airheads. But I know you know what I'm talking about. But yes, and I think that was so on point today. Everything is beautiful in its own way. So there is beauty within each and every one of us. And don't lose that thought ever. Not ever lose that thought about yourself. Well, we're moving on. Okay, now April, as we know, is known for April Fool's Day. And it's almost over. Today is the 25th of April, and 30 days have September, April, June, and November. So this is our first month that has 30 days of this year, April. And not only is it known for April Fool's Day, and I know many of you may have been pranked or you did prank someone else. Well, I didn't really get a chance to prank anyone else. I guess I've kind of grown out of that, you know, but my little great-granddaughter pranked me, and I forget what it was, but it was so cute, you know, because she's right now in kindergarten, and, you know, she's learning things, you know, as we all did when we went to school. So, she kind of laughed and chuckled, so I got you, Grandma. April Fool's Day. And I said, what the? I had to chuckle with her because it was funny, you know, that she had picked that up already. And Layla. And it was just so cute. But if you did not prank anyone or get a prank, then I guess somehow we kind of have lost the meaning of April Fool's Day, which is the first day of April. Gone. Lord bless and say the same until next year. Well, it was also known for the World's Autism Awareness Day. And we know the autism, we didn't hear much about autism, and maybe there was another name on the condition of people back in the day, but we know we have run across a lot of autistic children and adults. But they function, and they have learned how to function, and people have learned how to teach them and you know, just be aware of them, and I guess their demeanor, their attitudes, and just like everybody else, you know, we're all still beautiful in our own way. Okay. Also, National Garden Month. And aren't the flowers so beautiful now? And I run across a lot of tulips. They are so gorgeous, but still I have not planted any in my yard. And why is that? I don't know. And you know, when the beginning of Easter comes, you go to the grocery stores and Lowe's and places like that, and you see the bulbs. But do you buy? Some people do buy them and plant them, but I haven't done that yet, and I hope to do that for next year. But if I don't hurry up, I have another year without tulips in my front yard, right? Okay. And, you know, also they have the garden shows in different cities and towns, and people travel all around to these great big National Garden Month places where they're displaying flowers and everything you need for your yard and for your gardens and for your, what they call those, sunrooms. People have sunrooms on their homes now, which are gorgeous as well. So let's remember that April is also noted for that. And Alcohol Awareness Month. Alcohol Awareness Month. So, you know, that is a good thing to remember, that people still struggle with alcoholism. I guess that's what you call it. But, you know, it's also a drug. It's legal, but it's also a drug. It's mind-altering, you know, your body, your physical, how do you say that? it affects you physically. You know, your walk, your talk, you're slurred, you stumble, and things like that. Alcoholism is one of the worst among all the other drugs, and don't let anyone fool you, because it is so, it is such that. I have an incoming call. Hold on one moment. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Well, good morning, Linda. I just heard you say about you haven't got to this and you haven't got to that about the flowers. Well, yeah, I know you go into the stores and any place. They have these little packets. They don't cost much, and they're seeds. And you can just scroll, have a little time there and just scroll through there and look at them and then look on the back, and it gives you the direction. You don't have to be anybody special and no gardening or nothing. Anyone can do it. And you just find a little place, just a little place, and you can take those seeds and go by the direction and the water and stuff, and you'll have pretty flowers all here right before your eyes. And usually May 15th on, usually the frost is over with. You can keep up with the radios and TV that they'll say, well, I think the frost is all over with. And that will take care of you, because the seeds are going to be in the ground for a while before they start sprouting. And they're just like having children and stuff, and your grandchildren and things. You can just watch them grow. It's a delightful thing. So give it a try and give it a thought. There is no certain time of doing that. You can plant that stuff, and there are different variations, different months. You can have a sunflower seed or something come up, and you'll say, oh, man, that guy didn't tell me that's going to grow 7 foot tall. And there's different variations. Giant ones and this and that. That all that information just on a little packet, and you don't really just have a little pocket full of change. So you have a good day, and then take care.
Thank you for that tidbit. I will take that into mind. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
Oh, you're welcome. Uh-huh. Same to you.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you so much. I can just pick up a pack of seeds. You know, and I always wonder, does that really work if you plant those seeds? But I guess so. That's how they start, right? Plants give off their own seeds, like trees. You know, they drop their fruit and there's seeds in their fruit. Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. So I don't feel so bad then, because I was going to say, I missed the tulip season once again. Okay. All right. Okay, so let us move on. I did my thought for today, and I've done my April month. Now, we are going to go into Streams of the Desert. Okay, now, this is a devotional, which I do like to read, and sometimes it's a little deep in people's, I don't quite understand that. Well, it's taking a deeper look into the Word of God, okay? Now, this is in reference to faith. A lot of people say, well, what is faith? Faith is now. Faith is like right now, okay? So, now is faith. Let's see what Hebrews 11 and 1 says. Let me look that up. It will tell us. What faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another version says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. That's the NIV version. Okay. I like that too. The assurance of things hoped for. Conviction of things not seen. Let's see what the Amplified version says. It says, all right, here. This is the Amplified version. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. See what I mean? It's kind of deep, especially the Amplified version, but we do understand it is the assurance. It's just believing. It's just believing that what you want for, that you will see. It's believing. And, you know, even when you read the Word of God, it's about believing. Do you believe it? Right. That's the only way we can have fruit from the Word, is that we believe what it says. The power is in belief. Okay. And it goes like this. Genuine faith puts its letter in the mailbox and lets go. Wow. Distrust, however, holds on to a corner of the envelope and then wonders why the answer never arrives. Wow, because you're holding on just in case it doesn't come true, right? You really haven't let go of your inner self or the control. You feel like you are controlling the outcome by holding on to that corner of the envelope instead of letting go and let God, right? There are some letters on my desk that I wrote weeks ago, but I have yet to mail them because of my uncertainty over the address or the contents. Those letters have not done any good for me or anyone else at this point. Why? Because the letters are stuck in an envelope, and the envelope with the content is still laying on the person's desk. So it can't benefit him who he's trying to send this information to, nor does it help the person he's sending information to, because they have not received it yet, right? So it can't make an impact on their lives or his. They're just sitting there because he is unsure of the impact those letters will have on that person when they receive them. And they never will accomplish anything until I let go of them, trusting them to the postal service. It is the same with genuine faith. Its hands, its circumstance over to God, allowing him to work. Psalms 37:5 is a great confirmation of this. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will never work until we commit. Faith is receiving, or even more, actually appropriating the gifts God offers us. We may believe in him, come to him, commit to him, and rest in him, but we will never fully realize all our blessings until we begin to receive from him and come to him, having the spirit of abiding and appropriating from days of heaven upon earth. Dr. Payson, while still a young man, once wrote to an elderly mother who was extremely worried and burdened over the condition of her son. He wrote, "You are worrying too much about him. Once you have prayed for him, as you have done, and committed him to God, you should not continue to be anxious. God's command, do not be anxious about anything, Philippians 4:6, is unlimited, and so is the verse. Cast all your anxiety upon him. 1 Peter 5:7. If we truly have cast our burdens upon another, can they continue to pressure us if we carry them with us from the throne of grace? It is obvious we have not left them there. In my own life, I test my prayers in this way. After committing something to God, if I can come away like Hannah did, with no more sadness, no more pain, or anxiety in my heart, I see it as proof that I have prayed the prayer of faith. But if I pray and then still carry my burden, I conclude my faith was not exercised." How many of you No, that's true. I know we have all experienced that in our life. I'm just going to give it to the Lord. I'm just going to leave it there. And you pick it back up and you walk away with it and it's still on you, right? God said, well, I can't do anything with it until you let it go. Wow. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Maybe I got it backwards. The evidence of things not seen. Okay. Now faith. It's a substance, right? Let me look it up real quick. Because you know it's easy to get these things wrong. Because you think you know it all. When you think you know something and you don't, you know. Sometimes you can say, I can say it correctly. Sometimes I cannot. But don't condemn me, right? Okay. Now let's go. This is a very interesting scripture, and guess what? I am going to read it. And this is the Amplified Version of the faith chapter. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony, born to them, and obtain a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Prompted, actuated by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and in right standing with God, and God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gifts. And though he died, yet through the incident, he is still speaking. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven, so that he did not have a glimpse of death, and he was not found, because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony still on record that he had pleased and satisfied God. He had been satisfactory to God. Would you want to live a life like that? God is just pleased with you. He's just satisfied with you. Your walk, your talk, your disposition, how you treat other people, your reverence to him, your honor and respect to him. Would you want to live a life like that? And I think we all should try to live a life like that. And if we can't, I think we should ask God for help. Help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, not pleasing to me. And I feel like if we're pleasing God, if our intentions are pleasing God, then everybody else ought to be pleased with us, right? I feel like that. And I'm going to go back to Abel. How once he, even though he died, his blood was crying out to the Lord. I'm sorry. That's hard for me to perceive, but it did. Yes, because God asked his brother Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Well, yeah, we are. And God said, well, his blood is crying out. Wow. I guess his blood was saying, I didn't do anything wrong, but he killed me. Oh, my God, my brother. Whew. That's why I never allowed my children to fight each other, not in my presence. I'd always thought about Cain killed Abel and they were brothers. No, let's not fight. But that is deep right there. That is really deep. We talked about Enoch, how he pleased God. And God just took him. He didn't die first. He just took him. Because he was so pleased and satisfied with Enoch. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to God, for whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. That means whatever you ask for, you shall have. Because if you have that much faith in God and in knowing and realizing that he really loves you and there is no good thing that he would withhold from you, and you trust him for what you're asking for, you will have it. That is his word. You will have exactly what you ask for. Not doubting, but leaving it there. Asking God and leaving it there in prayer and supplication. You know, just trusting. And just, you know, Jesus said, I know you hear me, Father. In other words, I know God hears me talking to him, and he heard me. He can't say, well, I can't hear you. He hears you. Ask, and he also knows the faith that what you're putting behind your question or your need or your want from him. But if you put it in his hands and leave it there, hey, that's the best thing you could ever do. And it pleases him. Faith pleases God. Because you're putting a lot on him. You're putting it all on him. And you're saying, I trust you with all this. Even me. I trust you with me. I trust you with my life. I trust you with all that you have placed in my hands. I trust you with my children, my family, my loved ones, my friends and my neighbors. I trust you with them that I hold dear in my heart. I trust you. Verse 7. Prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, no sign of rain, no sign of the world was going to be filled with water completely. No sign. He took heed, and he diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness, that relation of being right into which God puts the person who has faith. So Noah probably was the only one who believed what God said. It's going to rain, Noah. And I'm going to have you build this ark. And you and your family can go inside. No one had ever seen rain before. So they laughed at Noah. They made fun of Noah. They made jokes at Noah. They probably came by and watched him constructing that ark. It says it took him 100 years. And all the while he was building the ark, he was preaching to the people. It's going to rain. God says it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Rain, rain, rain. Nobody believed him. Can you imagine when everybody first felt that first raindrop and looked up and saw many, many, many more coming? Oh my gosh. They were probably terrified. But it was too late. Noah and his family were already in the ark. And when that rain started, God closed the door himself, that no man could open. And only he can open doors no man can close. Wow. Urged on by faith, Abraham. Remember Abraham? Well, Father Abraham has many sons, and many sons has Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. I remember learning that in my youth. Urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. And God says, get up, get away from your family. Just get up and go. Pack your stuff and go. And Abraham got up, packed his stuff, him and Sarah, and they left. Sarai, I think her name was Sarai at that time. And they left. How many of us obey the word of God when we hear it? When we know it's him talking to us and moving us, do we obey promptly? Well, evidently Abraham did. Because why? Abraham was prompted by faith. He dwelt as a temporary resident in the land which was designated in the promise of God, though he was like a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs within him of the time promised. Heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, I don't think he had even had them yet. They hadn't even come to existence yet. Yeah. For he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which was fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Because of faith, also, Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. So from one man, though he was physically as good as dead, he was 100 years old, there have sprung descendants, whose number is as the stars of heaven and as countless as the innumerable sands of the seashore. 100 years old, fathering a child. Now, he had one by the handmaiden, Sarah's handmaiden. Oh, I'm trying to think of her name. Wow, I can't even think of her name. But anyway, it was Sarah's handmaiden, and he did sire a son by her, but he was not of the promise. He was of the bondwoman. So, sort of like slavery, right? Because she was serving Sarah. But the promise was given to Isaac. Yeah. Abraham's son from his wife. Yes. So his body was good as dead, and Sarah's womb was as good as dead, because she was like 90. Those people all died controlled and sustained by their faith, but not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen it and greeted it from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. And people said, well, our home is not here. We're just here temporarily. Our home is with the Lord in heaven. I know it sounds like strange language, but that is what we have come to believe. Now, those people who talk as they did show plainly that they are in search of a fatherland, their own country. If they had been thinking with homesick remembrance of that country from which they were immigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. But the truth is that they were yearning for and aspiring to a better and more desirable country, that is, a heavenly one. For that reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God, even to be surnamed their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was put to the test, while the testing of his faith was still in progress, had already brought Isaac for an offering. He who had gladly received and welcomed God's promises was ready to sacrifice his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your descendants be reckoned." For he reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from among the dead. Indeed, in the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead, potentially sacrificed, he did actually receive him back from the dead. With eyes of faith, Isaac, looking far into the future, invoked blessings upon Jacob and Esau. You know, they say Isaac was, what, 30 years old? He was pretty old when this happened. Like, whoa. Or maybe, you know, a young adult. And his father took him up there to sacrifice him. Try to imagine that. Prompted by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in prayer over the top of his staff. Actuated by faith, Joseph, when nearing the end of his life, referred to the promise of God for the departure of the Israelites out of Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his own bones. So he said, when you reach the promised land, bury my bones there. Prompted by faith, Moses, after his birth, was kept concealed for 3 months by his parents because they saw how calmly the child was, and they were not overawed and terrified by the king's decree to kill all the firstborn males of the Hebrews. Aroused by faith, Moses, when he had grown to maturity and became great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he preferred to share the oppression, suffer the hardships, and bear the shame of the people of God rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. He considered the contempt and abuse and shame borne for the Christ, the Messiah who was to come, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked forward and away to the reward recompense. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king, for he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. By faith, simple trust and confidence in God, he instituted and carried out the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost, so that the destroyer of the firstborn, the angel, might not touch those of the children of Israel. Urged on by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as though on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do the same, they were swallowed up by the sea. Because of faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encompassed for 7 days by the Israelites. Prompted by faith, Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed along with those who refused to believe and obey because she had received the spies in peace without enmity. And what shall I say further? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promise blessings, and closed the mouths of lions, extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the devourings of the sword, out of frailty and weakness, won strength, and became stalwart, even mighty in resistance, and resistless in battle, routing alien hosts. Some women received again their dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release, offered on the terms of denying their faith so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Others had to suffer the trial of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were sawn asunder. They were slaughtered by the sword. While they were alive, they had to go about wrapped in skins of sheep and goats, utterly destitute, oppressed cruelly treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, roaming over the desolate places and the mountains and living in caves and caverns and holes of the earth. And all of these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised, because God had us in mind and had something better and greater in view for us, so that they, those heroes and heroines of faith, should not come to perfection apart from us before we could join them. Wow. That was a lot. That whole chapter was on faith and how different people place their faith in God and the recompense, the prize, or, you know, what they received from that faith in God. And that faith also entailed or included a life forever with Christ in heaven, in peace and in love. But God had us in mind, so they did not reach that point yet. They're still waiting for us. Isn't that a loving God and a caring God? Thank you for listening to the first hour of A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here live on WGH Talk. But stay tuned. I have Dana Booker coming on the next hour at 11:15. We will pick up and carry on. She will give us all the events going on for Juneteenth today. So thank you. God bless you. If you can tune in the next hour, I welcome you back. If not, have a blessed weekend. Thank you so much. You're listening to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WGH Talk. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.